The Bajamoan, the telling of events, a series focusing on both the oral and written histories of the White Earth Reservation and Northern Minnesota regions, with an emphasis on Native American histories.
This is part 6 of a 7-part series. Jesse Foster, Voices of Our Elders, from the Bajamoan Project on KKWE.
I was a big proud of it, and I think back in 1954 is when they started selling alcohol to Indians. They could buy beer and wine and whiskey, and 54, prior to that, they couldn't buy that stuff. If they got caught with it, they got sent to jail, prison, for being in possession of liquor. They got sentenced to prison for that. You know, a lot of them older people, you know, that were living before 1954, a lot of them went to prison for having alcohol in their position and their possession, you know, that. But then after the government passed that law, the Indians were citizens of the United States, then they got their rights to do what they, you know, what other people or white people are doing. You know, they could go to a liquor store and buy liquor and sit there and drink beer. And I noticed that in Whiter, like Ogama was on the reservation before the Indians could start buying liquor and beer and that stuff. Ogama already had a liquor store and a couple beer joints before the Indians could start buying liquor. But after 1954, when they passed the law that they could buy liquor and beer and that, that was their choice, you know, to be alcoholics. A lot of the older people, you know, died from alcoholism on the reservations, you know, but you never really hear about it, you know, and you're young, you know, and you never knew what it was like before they could start buying liquor. The Indians were and still are wards of the government. That's where they got reservations, concentration camps. That's the way I look at it, you know. Reservations aren't, you know, they aren't Indian places, you know, they're concentration camps, that's what they are. Indian reservations. You know, if they made a reservation, they put you on that reservation, you couldn't leave. And if you left and they hunted you down, they either killed you or they took you and sent you to prison for leaving the reservation. See, that's where that concentration camp comes in. You know, and the way I look at it yet is these reservations are still there. But a lot of the people that grew up and lived on them reservations, you know, they never really looked at it, you know, and looked at it in that sense of view, is that the reservations, when the government made these reservations, you know, they made them concentration camps, is what they were, you know. You know, because the Indians got put on there, they couldn't leave. If they left, they either got killed or they'll already got sent to prison. And then if they got caught drinking alcohol before that, you know, I guess mainly where I'm saying is, you know, that's where the word savage comes from, you know. It's the alcohol that they start using the Indians, you know, to get all their goods, you know, their furs and whatever, you know, they'd give them liquor for all this here stuff. And then they turned mean when they got drunk, you know. So that's where the word savages come in, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, they turned them into savages. And then after they got drunk, and then they declared them savages, well, then they just start killing them. So yeah, it's hard to fathom a lot of that stuff. But that's just the way it is. Oh, geez, everything was, you know, everything was trouble when you were young. When you were kids, everything was trouble. Yeah, it's about everything you do with, you know, trouble, you know. And I guess when I was around Whiters and that, you know, anything that ever happened in Whiters, it seemed like they'd call the cops, and it seems like the cops would come over to Grandma's house and get me all the time, you know. They'd take me to jail for, you know, and a lot of that stuff, you know, that I was blamed for, I never did it. But then when I'd get out of jail or whatever, wherever they sent me, and I'd go back to the village of Whiters, I would do this stuff just to show them that I could do it and get away with it. You know, and they never did catch me when I'd do that stuff. Like a lot of that stuff, like Whiters, you know. A lot of that stuff, like the pool hall, foreign store, and all that stuff. You know, I broke into them places, and them people, you know, the Warrens, they lived right below their store down in the basement. They had their living quarters down there. There, I was walking around in their store helping myself to a lot of stuff. And the same way with Anna Marsh's place down there, they called it the pool hall. I was walking around in there too in the night times. So, you know, I'd do that stuff, but I wouldn't get caught for doing it. Like the school, I don't know how many times we broke into school and they never did catch us. You know, school, yeah, we'd. I guess a lot of us, you know, when we broke into that school in Whiters, you know, we went down there, you know, we'd head for the kitchen, you know, it's. Because we knew there was food down there, you know. We'd go down there and eat. But then we'd clean it up before we left, and the next day they wouldn't even know anybody was in there. Geez, a lot of them kids in Whiters, well, a lot of them are gone now, you know. A lot of them are passed away, but it just, you know, guys around my age now, see, I'm 72, and then, A lot of them, maybe one or two are still alive in Whiters, but most of them are dead now. So, yeah, most of them are dead. But we did a lot of stuff that, you know, if they were caught us, we'd still be in jail, locked up. We broke in one house one time. He's looking right in this guy's face when he is sleeping. He's walking around in his store, and he look right in his face and he's laying there sleeping. There used to be a Red Owl store in Whiterd. Right up, you know, on a hill there, right, you know, where Kibby lives, right across the street. There used to be a post office there. But there used to be a big Red Owl store there and across on the other side there used to be a gas station there, Phillips 66. I remember that. And we used to tease this guy that worked on there at the gas station. His name was Art. I never did know his last name, Art. We used to stand up on a hill and we all hollered, Art, let up for it. We used to holler at him like that, you know. Being kids, you know, and we did a lot of stuff.
Tune in next time for part 7 of 7. For the full series of Jesse Foster and other stories, please visit prx.org. That's prx.org or nijiradio.org. nijiradio.org.
Funding for this program has been made possible through a grant from the Legacy, Art, Culture, and Heritage Fund of Minnesota.